Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menash. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from Salt Lake City. Welcome to the show, Eric Oliver.
Thank you, Victor. Glad to be here.
Well, great to have you here. Now, Eric, you specialize in cost segregation, something that is near and dear to most real estate investors' heart, if they haven't heard of it. But before we dive into the details, maybe give us a little bit of your backstory and how you got to this point in your journey.
Sure. So I'm born and raised in Salt Lake City, Utah. Went to school out here, got my degree in accounting. Never actually used my degree when I first got out of school, believe it or not. I went into sales, which took me to the East Coast, lived in Richmond, Virginia for about 12 years, then Long Island, New York for five. When I was leaving Long Island, New York, I was looking to come back to Salt Lake. I've got aging parents here and wanted to get back to Salt Lake and came across this job with Cost Segregation Authority. So at the time, only had a couple single family homes myself and didn't even know really what cost segregation was. So before I interviewed, I had to look it up and understand what it was. And it was amazing once I found out what it was and how it works. And so with my accounting degree and background, I decided to take the plunge into cost segregation. That was about 7.5 years ago. It's been great working with clients and tax preparers across the country, just trying to help reduce tax liabilities through, you know, some of these cost segregation studies, as well as some of the real estate tax credits that are out there.
For those who are not familiar with cost seg, let's just do maybe a 2-minute primer on it. Because obviously, on average, you know, if you just follow the straight IRS guidance, you're depreciating assets over 27.5 years, when in fact, you could be taking more and deferring a whole pile of tax.
Yeah, definitely. So cost segregation really is just accelerated depreciation on your real estate assets. As you mentioned, real estate typically gets depreciated over 27.5 years for residential units and 39 years for commercial. Just a clarification there. Sometimes the tax lingo is a little bit different than the real estate lingo. Residential in the tax world is anything where somebody lives. So even if it's a large apartment building, that's still considered residential for tax purposes. So a multifamily gets depreciated over 27.5 years. So just to make the math easy, let's say you buy a $2.7 million building. You're essentially going to get a $100,000 write-off every year. You take that $2.7 million, divide it by 27.5. That gives you your $100,000 of deduction. And I've oversimplified that a little bit because we do have to back out land value because land is not depreciable. But you get the idea. You're basically taking an even amount over the next 27.5 years, which is great. That's why a lot of us get into real estate, is for some of these tax benefits. But in actuality, I may not own my property for 27.5 years, and I want my deductions faster, if at all possible. And so there's a number of reasons why. There's time value of money, you know, inflation is a hot topic, but give me my deductions now versus letting the IRS hold on to these for the next 27.5 years. And the way we can do that, Victor, is through an engineering-based study where we go into that multifamily, for example, and we identify the short-term assets, things like carpet, countertops, cabinets, ceiling fans, appliances. Those things don't last 27.5 years. And so the IRS allows us to depreciate those over 5 years, for example. Parking lots, your curbs, your gutters, those are all land improvements. Those get depreciated over 15 years. The problem, Victor, is when you, as you know, when you buy a multifamily property, or you don't know the value of those individual components. You just bought a building for $2.7 million. And so when you give that closing statement to your tax preparer, there's no efficient way for them to know that there's $80,000 worth of carpet and $250,000 worth of parking lot. And so that's just as the name implies. We go in and segregate the costs that allows the tax preparer or the investor to depreciate these over the correct useful life. It's interesting, Victor. You're actually doing it incorrect if you're not doing cost segregation, because you're depreciating your carpet over 27.5 years, and the IRS says it should actually be depreciated over 5 years. But again, they're not going to come after you because it's just more money in their coffers. And so it's usually not an issue. But for investors, it's definitely important to understand cost segregation and how to accelerate or take these deductions at a much faster rate.
Now, there's some moves afoot that are changing the landscape potentially. I mean, when the 2017 tax code came into play, there was this thing called bonus depreciation that allowed you to take all of that depreciation and accelerate it into the current year. and it had some expiry dates associated with it. Last year, 2023, would have been at 80% inclusion. This year, 60%, next year, 40%, and on down to zero. And then lo and behold, the Biden administration, just in the Congress just recently, passed a bill that would extend the bonus depreciation to 100% for the next couple of years. But it's in an uncertain state. It's been passed in the Congress, but not the Senate. And we're in the middle of tax season. What do you do?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. We've been getting that question a lot because it makes a huge impact on the amount of deduction that's available to you. You know, bonus depreciation is kind of, it kind of puts cost segregation on steroids. So as you mentioned, there's a bill that passed the House. It's sitting in the Senate now. It does have bipartisan support. I do suspect it will get passed. But, you know, some of the stuff I'm reading now with it being an election year, even with the bipartisan support, there's a few on the Republican side that don't want anything to pass, you know, in an election year because they don't want anything to look good on the record. So the question is, what do we do? And so we've got a lot of clients who want to file their 2023 taxes. They've chosen to extend. Most filers extend, not all filers, but most filers will extend either way. But if you've got real estate assets and you're looking to do cost segregation, it's probably worth extending just to see if this gets passed, because the benefits. Now, if you were to file and it does get passed after you file, you could always go back, amend your return, get it corrected. There's probably going to be, my guess is, some automatic change that's accepted where you don't have to actually amend. There's probably going to be some form. Their goal was to get it passed by January 29th before people started filing. It didn't happen. So again, I would extend. I wouldn't be worried about extending so that you can make sure you take advantage of it. Again, you won't lose that deduction if you go ahead and file. It's just you won't have to go through the hassle. And so, like I said, Victor, most people who own real estate tend to extend either way, but just something to be wary of because, or cautious of, because that bonus depreciation, they're talking about extending it to 100% through 2025. And like I said, it has bipartisan support. It should get passed, but we're just keeping a close eye on to see when it actually does get passed and how we can record that.
Now, you're a real estate investor. You go, you buy an asset, let's say for $1 million, and then little ways down the road through appreciation, you sell it for $1.5 million. You've got a capital gain. You're going to pay capital gains tax on the difference. Now, if you're claiming depreciation, you're adjusting your cost basis not from $1 million, you're taking it pretty darn close to zero after you subtract the land. And when you recapture that basis, it's not going to get capital gains treatment. It's going to get treated as ordinary business income at a higher tax rate. A lot of folks I talk to say, well, why would I bother going with cost segregation? Because I'm just ultimately going to end up paying more tax when I sell the asset. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a great question, Victor. That's probably the question we get asked most often is, listen, this is just a timing issue, right, Eric? If I take all this depreciation up front, don't I just have to pay it back in the form of either recapture tax or capital gains tax? And the answer is no, that's not the case. And the reason for that is, you used an example, and I'll use that same example. You buy a building for $1 million. Let's say 5 years later, we sell it for $2 million. So when you go to settle up with the IRS, you're telling them that everything is doubled in value. So I bought everything in this office building that I'm in today for $1 million. And 5 years later, I'm going to sell everything in this office building for $2 million. Well, when you tell that to the IRS, they're going to charge you tax on that. They're going to say that your land went up in value. It doubled in value. Your walls have doubled in value. And your dirty, nasty carpet that's 5 years old has also doubled in value. Well, Victor, we know that carpet doesn't go up in value. Carpet goes down in value. And so we shouldn't be selling our carpet for double what we paid for it. But when you don't have these items broken out, you can't pull them out of the allocation of the sales price. It all just gets put into one big bucket. And so the idea behind cost segregation is you're taking your deduction at a high rate. So we're going to take our deduction today against my ordinary income of, let's call it 37%. When I pay it back, I'm going to pay some of it back at a lower capital gains rate of 20%, or at most a capital gains rate, or sorry, a recapture rate of 25%. I may or may not have to pay some recapture tax on my personal property, as we call it, the 5 and 7 year assets, depending on how long I've owned it. But in that example, Victor, I've owned my carpet for 5 years. What's the book value of my carpet after owning it for 5 years?
It's fully depreciated.
fully depreciated. So I don't have to pay that back. You know, you mentioned you pay that back at, or you could pay it back at ordinary income. But in that example, I'm paying ordinary income on zero because it's got no value. And so kind of the moral to the story, or if you can remember anything from this section of this recording here, is don't sell your dirty, nasty carpet for more than you bought it for. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of us do when we don't do cost segregation, because we don't know the value of the carpet. And so our tax preparers can't allocate the sales price to those right buckets. Great question. Like I said, we don't get too far in the weeds, but just something to be wary or considerate of. It's not just a timing play. It's take your deduction at a high rate, pay back a portion of it at a lower rate at a future date, and save the spread. And we're just playing with the rate arbitrage here and taking advantage of that rate arbitrage.
And then, of course, not paying a recapture on those items that are fully depreciated.
Exactly. Yep. And then the other option is, you know, a lot of us will 1031 exchange, and we just defer, defer, defer until unfortunately we all pass away, and then we get a step up in basis to our estate, you know, is obviously another strategy that's often utilized.
I love it. Well, if folks want to connect, if they want to learn more, what's the best way?
Yeah, so you can find us on our website. It's www.costsegauthority.com. My contact information is up there. Please use us as a resource, guys. We don't bill by the hour. We're kind of a unique accounting firm where we just do cost segregation and some energy credits. And so, like I said, we don't do tax returns, but we want to be a resource for you guys. So if you have any questions about cost segregation, about real estate tax in general, we're happy to help wherever we can. And you can get our contact information on that website.
Fantastic. Well, Eric, love what you're doing. And for the listeners at home, definitely connect with Eric Oliver at costsegauthority.com. The link will be in the show notes. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.